Time, the silent herald of life and death, success or failure. The unseen force that measures man's destiny, reaching its most fateful moment as it slowly strikes the 11th hour.
Bark at me, dog. No call at all. I ain't done nothing to you. I got a right to stand here on the curb if I want to, dog. Now you just shut up.
Hey, Raggedy. Raggedy, come on inside. Come on, gal. Inside. Hey, Pop. Maybe Raggedy's seen someone sneaking around the place.
Will you go on inside, dog? Go on, scat. Shoo. All right, dog. I'll move on, sure. But you ain't getting away with this. No, sir. I'll be back. And you ain't gonna like me coming back. Not one little bit, dog. Not one little bit.
Something strange about this house tonight, Ella. Seems quiet. Mighty quiet.
Does it, Burton?
Yeah. Where's the boy, Jamie?
Probably off somewhere with Raggedy.
Well, it's getting late, Ella. You oughtn't to be out at this time.
Well, that dog, he's safer than he would be with the whole Twin Falls police force watching in Bergen.
Well, maybe you'd like it if I'd take the pooch and sit him in my chair behind the desk down the city hall, eh?
Him's a her, Bergen.
All right, take her. That's why it's quiet, anyway.
What's that?
Why, it's quiet. Oh. When I came in, remember? Not like last night with a darn dog barking her head off down the front gate. You know, the boy might have been right. Maybe there was someone out there.
Bergen, dear, don't you think when you come home you could stop being a police chief and just relax?
Mm. Still say the boy ought to be home. Is a good book?
I've no idea. I hope to find out. If you ever keep quiet long enough, dear.
Pa! It's Raggedy! I've been looking all over. Gosh.
Look, son, I told you a dozen times this last week. Don't come busting in the house like that.
Shut up, Bergen.
Hmm? Well, all I'm doing is just
trying... You gotta listen to me, Pa. She's dead. She ain't moving.
Isn't moving.
Okay. Isn't moving. She... Don't either of you even care.
Where is she, Jimmy?
I looked all over. She was all right just after dinner. Then I thought I'd take her for a walk. And I kept calling her, Pa. I went round to all the neighbors and asked if they'd seen her. You know she never goes away from the house. I found her just now, Pa. She was lying in a kennel the whole time. Will you come and look at her, Pa, please? Maybe it's not too late. Maybe the vet...
Go out to the kennel, Bergen.
I'll come with you, Pa.
No, J.D. You stay here. Go on, Bergen.
Yeah, I'll take a look at her, son. You stay there with your mother.
Jamie, come here.
Mama, I want to be there with Pa.
No, Jamie.
You know she's dead, don't you? You know it. You don't even have to look.
When was the last time Raggedy went to her kennel, Jamie?
When she had pups that time, isn't it?
And when she wasn't on your bed, or ours, or the sofa, or the most comfortable chair in the house, she was where you were, Jamie.
But she can't just have died, Mom. Not that fast. She wasn't even old. I told you, I saw her just after dinner. She was down near the front fence.
Did she seem all right then?
Of course she did. She was eating something. She was fine. Then when I went to take her for a walk, I didn't even think to look in her kennel. Maybe if I had, maybe she needed me, Mom, and I wasn't even around to... Pa sure is taking a long time out there.
Jamie, boy, there are other dogs.
There won't ever be another Raggedy. Did you see her, Pa? Do you think there might be... Sure?
Jamie, I want you to run over to Steve Jorgensen's house. Ask him to come here right away, huh?
Pop, do you mean Mr. Jorgensen might be able to do something?
Go on, boy.
I'll go the back way. It's quicker. Maybe I should have gone to these house first.
You could have rung the bit, Bergen.
Yeah, I could. It gives the boys something to do.
Your face was enough to tell me there's nothing Jorgensen can do, Bergen.
Well, there is one thing he can do. He can let me be sure.
Sure?
Yeah. I don't know that much about dogs, Ella, but I know one thing. Jamie's dog was poisoned.
Chris? Chris, where are you? You in your room, Chris? Chris? Oh, Chris, what worrying you, boy? Why are you sitting in here in the dark? Got something worrying you, Chris?
Not anymore, Mom. Not anymore.
If it's something you got to sit in the dark to think about, it can't be something good, son.
I was just sitting, that's all. Just sitting. I like to sit in the dark, Mom.
Most times you don't. Not most times. Just now and again. You go for whole months at a time sitting out there with me in front of the fire. And then comes that one night and I find you like this. What's worrying you, Chris? You still think about Helen?
Helen? Helen. Sometimes I can almost see her in here, Ma. Sometimes I could almost reach out and touch her.
Oh, forget about her, boy. Forget that you were ever stupid enough to tell her.
She sure loved that dog of hers, though. Yeah, silly name for a dog like that. Great big dog with a silly name. Big dog. Waffles. Good dog, Waffles. Does your mummy love you, huh? Waffles, does you?
Love your mummy, huh? Waffles a pretty boy. Waffles is mummy, mummy's little baby boy, huh?
Miss Newberry.
Don Waffles, come, boy. That's a good boy. You can come in, Chris. Waffles won't hurt you. Open the gate.
Thanks.
If you come about the repairs to the roof, I'm afraid Father and Mother won't be home this afternoon.
That's why I've come, Miss Helen.
That's enough, Waffle. You surely didn't think I could find anything for you to do, did you, Chris? I wouldn't know where to tell an odd job man to start.
I wanted to talk to you, Miss Newberry.
Oh, how very flattering. The man wants to talk with his Waffles, and you've got to be quiet. No, Waffles, that's enough. I'm very glad you came, Chris. I've been terribly bored.
Well, Miss Newberry, I've worked here at your house for almost 3 months now.
And Father's very pleased with you.
Well, thank you, Miss. You see, you got to promise not to laugh at me, Miss.
Laugh at you? Why should I? In any case, you always seem so serious. And, Chris, I've told you time and time again to my friends, I'm Helen.
Yes, thank you. Helen, I won't always be doing this kind of work.
But why not, if you like it?
Well, I could... I bet I could do almost anything if I had the chance.
Oh, then I'll talk to Father. Perhaps he can help.
Well, it's not... I want to talk to your father, Miss.
What on earth for? Let me do it, after all.
It's the man's place.
Waffles, quiet. Just what are you talking about, Chris? What is the man's place?
When he wants to marry someone.
Oh, but Chris, I'm surprised. How romantic. Who is she?
Are you, Miss Helen?
Me? You want... You mean that's why you've come here to... Chris Jenkins, the odd job man, the hired help, wants to marry me, Waffles. We wouldn't like that, would we? We wouldn't like it one little bit.
Miss, if you just listen a minute
more...
You
know, stupid oaf, get out of here. Don't stand there staring at me like that, Jenkins, or I'll set the dog on you. And don't think you'll get another job here, either. Just don't come back.
Miss, I didn't mean anything wrong.
Get him, Waffles. Go on, get him. Get him, Waffles. Chase him, boy. Chase him through the gate.
Get away. Get away from me.
Don't ever let him come through that gate again, Waffles. Don't ever... Waffles. Oh, no. Waffles, leave him alone. Waffles.
My leg. Right deep down in my calf, Mom. Deep. Waffles did that, and I still feel it. After all this time.
Oh, Chris. Come outside by the fire. Don't stay here thinking. That won't help.
You don't understand, Mom. It wasn't that she laughed. I even expected her to, in a way. But the dog, like a hobo, chased off the place.
Chris, stop this.
But she didn't have waffles long after that, did she, huh? Not very long at all. Let's go back by the fire, Mom. I'm tired of sitting in here by myself.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so handle it. Bring him in. Huh? Now listen, Sergeant. Either the guy's drunk or he isn't. I don't care if his father's the president of the whole United States. If he's too drunk to drive, then book him.
Phew, that old turkey. My old man's a friend of Judge Hoosier's.
Come in.
Oh, Steve, come on in, sit down.
I had to come by the city hall to attend a confinement, Chief. Six kittens, all well, mother contended, father unknown. Well, I did that autopsy.
What'd you find?
Poison, strychnine, like all the others. It makes 13 dogs for the year. Bergen, I've asked you time and time again to help me with this. There's a man or woman in Twin Falls who's leaving Bates where they'll do the most harm. Up to now, you haven't given it much time. In fact, I seem to remember you telling me it wasn't really a police matter.
All right, now lay off, will you?
When I'm finished, I will. I make my living out of animals. People here reckon I've got the best practice in Minnesota, but the money part isn't why I'm a vet. They can't even talk to you, Bergen. They can't tell you where the pain is. With a human getting hold of poison accidentally, he can tell you about it. Describe symptoms.
Look, I know how you feel
about
this.
Your boy was the owner of just one dog, the unlucky 13th. The other 12 owners went through what he's going through right now. Maybe tonight there'll be another kid in Twin Falls who'll stumble on something that was once alive.
Yeah, I know. I remember the look on Jamie's face when he came in to tell us about it. I'll find out who it is, Steve. Now you get out of here and let me think.
Let me ask you a question. What is the most important thing to a fighting man? His gun, you may answer. You might also answer the code of conduct of the men of the armed forces of the United States. Because, you know, it is something just as necessary to the fighting man as his gun. And just as he keeps his gun cleaned and oiled because his life may depend on it, so does he keep ever forward in his mind his code of conduct because his life and honor depend on it. Part of the code reads, quote, I will never surrender of my own free will. If in command, I will never surrender my men while they still have means to resist, unquote. During the bloody and costly campaign on the island of Saipan in World War II, the code of the soldier meant something to the men, and to one man in particular. Essentially a quiet, peace-loving man, Sergeant Thomas A. Baker, while with the 105th Infantry Regiment of the United States Army, was up against it one night in 1944 when the enemy launched an attack which called for them to die in honor. Sergeant Baker proved it could work both ways. The enemy attack fell like a saber blow and continually hurled Baker's company back with each savage thrust. During the ensuing days of action, Baker wiped out an enemy position with a bazooka, killed 14 of the enemy in a machine gun ambush using only his M1 rifle and a couple of grenades, and then killed six more a little farther on. In a last-ditch stand one night, the company dug in to withstand the next furious assault. In the dark, as the enemy rolled over them in a thunderous attack of firepower, Sergeant Baker suffered a mangled leg from a grenade. Shooting and clubbing the enemy with his rifle, he dragged himself out of the foxhole. Three of his men tried to give him aid. Two of them were shot. From the third man, Baker got a cigarette and the pistol and told him to leave. As the rest of the company moved back, Baker propped himself against a telephone pole, calmly puffed on his cigarette, and blazed away with his automatic. He was later found in that position with eight of the enemy dead around him, one for each shot, and the empty gun in his lifeless hand. Sergeant Baker didn't consider the Medal of Honor he might get. He considered the job that had to be done. His honor was at stake. Surrender wasn't in his code of conduct.
Only too glad to be of help, Bergen. Mind you, there's two other drugstores in Twin Falls.
Yeah, I've already checked them out, Bill. You come up with anything?
Not much, I guess. But seems like most of the strychnine I sell goes to Chris Jenkins, mm-hmm. Maggie Jenkins' boy. Matter of fact, he bought some more of me yesterday.
Yesterday? It was last night. You say he's been in here before?
Yeah, sure he has. According to the poison book, he claims the stuff's for coyote baits. Yeah, that's right. 13 times this year.
13. That's a big help, Bill. Thanks a lot. Make out a list of those dates and send them down to my office, will you?
Surely Chris isn't in any trouble, Bergen. He can't be.
I just want to talk with him, Maggie.
Well, he should be in any time now. He wouldn't do anything wrong, Bergen. Everyone knows Chris is a good boy. Maybe he's not the smartest man in Twin Falls, but he's gentle and kind. Do all mothers talk like that, Bergen?
Yeah, we all know Chris, that's for sure.
When his father died, he just took over like he was a grown man. It's always been that way. Ever since, he looks after me just fine. He don't make much money, but he hands it all to me for the house. Sometimes I wonder he don't buy things for himself.
Yeah. You say he hands over his money, all of it, Maggie?
Most of the times, yes. Just now and again, he keeps back a little. I never see what he buys with it.
Mm. How often does he keep some back?
Oh, I couldn't say for sure. I guess this last year maybe 10 or a dozen times.
Let's see.
I'm home, Mom.
Chief Williams is here to talk with you, Chris.
Something wrong, Mr. Williams?
Well, I hope not, Chris. Tell me, were you home last night, all night?
Of course he was. He was here with me. That is, he went out for a little walk after dark, the way he always does.
Mom,
but
stay out of this, will you?
But what time was that, Chris?
Around 8, I guess.
Did you happen to walk by my place?
I have to go past your house when I'm walking uptown, Mr. Williams. Go past it most every night.
Yeah. I was talking to somebody who used to know you pretty well, Chris, only this morning. Helen Newberry.
What is this about, Bergen, please?
You had a dog, Chris. The folks say she's still pretty miserable about the way it died, almost a year ago. My son's dog died last night, Chris. Poisoned.
Poisoned?
Jamie saw that dog of his eating something down by the front fence. Chris, did you see Jamie's dog as you went by last night? Did you maybe throw a bait over the fence? A bait with strychnine in it?
No. No, you're wrong, Mr. Williams.
Like you did with Helen Newberry's dog and 11 others before you got around to Jamie's?
It's a lie. I didn't do it.
Chris, come back here. Leave that gun alone.
This was my pop's rifle, Mr. Williams. He used to like it over the fireplace. And you reckon that next to him I could use it better than anyone?
Give me that rifle, Chris.
Don't move. I don't want to shoot you. I don't want to shoot anyone. But I ain't going to jail, neither. Not for Helen Newberry. She's the one you ought to jail, Mr. Williams. She's the one.
Please don't do this, please.
Be quiet, Mom. Sure, I poisoned your boy's dog, Mr. Williams. You want to know why? I'll tell you. I was walking past your place the night before last, see? I wasn't doing anything wrong. And I stopped. It was a nice night. Peaceful. I stopped just by your front gate. And that dog started barking at me like I was a criminal or something. Like I wanted to rob you. But that dog don't bark no more. No, sir, not anymore.
Hand over the gun, Chris. I'm taking you along with me.
No, you ain't, Mr. Williams.
Chris!
I'm going to the woods, Mom. I know them woods better than anyone in the whole world. You come after me, Mr. Williams, you better watch yourself. Bye, Mom.
Chris!
Don't go after him, Maggie. We'll bring him back.
Oh, don't hurt him, Bergen. Please don't hurt him, please.
Sure try not to, Maggie. I just hope he hands over that gun before he does anything stupid, that's all.
I'll come by every time I can, Maggie. I promise. I wasn't going to leave you with old Mr. Jorgensen. This is where we got that rabbit that time. Remember? Rabbit was bigger than you were then, Raggedy. Ought to be deep enough for that little old box. Don't think I'm deserting you, Raggedy, and leaving me out here this way. You must never think that. It's in these woods we had the best times of all. Remember that snake we saw? You barked at it and showed me where it was. And the time Gee, Raggedy. Golly Moses, I'm going to miss you.
Hello, Jamie.
You been out hunting, Mr. Jenkins?
Hunting? Yeah. Yeah, that's right, Jamie. What are you doing out here? What are you... Hey, in the box, is she your dog?
Yeah, I was just going to... I was trying to put off covering her up. You see, it's not much of a box, is it?
Looks really nice, Jamie.
Mr. Jenkins, would you... I don't want to have to be the one to...
You want me to do it?
I'll watch you. I won't go away.
You know, you hold this gun. Now, let me see. If we put the box in this way, I think it would be best. Yeah. Does that look all right, boy?
I guess so.
Now, hand me that spade.
Here.
Thanks. A real nice place you chose, boy. I reckon she'll appreciate that.
Pretty lonely for her after dark, Mr. Jenkins. Out here alone.
Yeah, now. You want it smoothed out on top?
Sure. Wish I knew what could have happened to her. So sudden, even Mr. Jorgensen couldn't tell me. No, my pop. Would you finish it for me, Mr. Jenkins? I don't want to have to watch anymore.
Hey, Jamie.
Your gun's here by the tree, Mr. Jenkins. I'll come back later and get the spade. I'll come back later.
Yeah. You do that, boy. You do that. You started this whole thing, Helen. You started everything. And I'm going to stop by your house and finish it.
You got any sense at all, Jenkins? You'll get out of here while you've got the chance.
I'm not going till Helen comes home.
How many times do I have to tell you she and her mother have gone away for the weekend?
I've got to see her, make it right. She was the one...
I'm not afraid of that gun, Jenkins. When the police get here,
they... don't know I'm here. No one saw me, no one. I was out in the forest. That's where they think I am, in the forest. It was there I saw the boy.
He was burying his dog, Mr. Newberry.
The dog that Helen killed. She's got to pay for that. Pay for all of them. And pay for this. You see that? The scar? Helen did that. She set that dog of hers onto me.
I've heard the whole story, Jenkins. Frankly, I'd have done the same thing. I've always thought you were half-witted, and now you're doing your best to prove it, forcing your way in here with a gun.
I loved her, Mr. Newberry.
Enough to start poisoning half the animals in Twin Falls? Just how did you manage to twist it in that fumbling brain of yours, twist it so that every dog you poisoned was another way of getting at Helen?
It was that day, the barking. I looked around and the dog was leaping at me. I tried to get out of the gate, but I was lying there with the dog tearing at my leg.
Give me the gun, Jenkins.
No!
No, I saw that boy. He asked me to help him. He didn't know that I...
She's got to pay for that boy.
I'm going to telephone the police, Jenkins. Tell them you're here.
No, don't do it, Mr. Newberry. Please, I don't want to kill you. Tell them I won't.
That's you, Bergen? Tom Newberry. Chris Jenkins is here, and he claims he's going to kill my daughter.
Please don't make me do it. Don't make me!
Yeah, he has a gun, and...
Mr. Newberry. I didn't mean it, Mr. Newberry.
Listen, Jenkins. This is your last chance. Either come through the door with your hands above your head or we're coming in for you. I'm giving you 10 seconds, Jenkins. You'll hear me count them off.
10 seconds.
One.
I loved you, Helen.
Two.
I ain't a murderer.
Three.
That boy.
4 seconds gone, Jenkins.
Four.
Five.
I've worked real hard for you, Helen.
Four to go, Jenkins.
It was the bark and the laughter.
Seven.
I didn't mean to kill him, Mom. You know that.
Let it come out easy. Eight.
All those people waiting out there to see you.
Nine.
Mom, I didn't mean it. I didn't do it on purpose. I promise you,
Ben,
I didn't.
Jenkins, you better come out if you don't want to get hurt.
Chris, this is me, your mother. You hear me in there, boy? Don't try and fight anymore, Chris, please. I want you to come out as Mr. Williams says. You've got to, Chris. It's your only chance. Please, Chris.
All right, Mr. Williams. I'm coming out. Just don't shoot.
Hey, I'd like to get out of here. All right, just let us through, will you, please? Sergeant, get these people back, will you? Keep walking, Jenkins.
Turn side bed in the picture. This is
Miller. All right, get back there. Into the car, Jenkins.
Will you keep back, please, folks? This guy is dangerous.
I said get in, Jenkins.
Oh, Chris, boy. Chris.
It's all right, Mom. I'm just sorry, that's all.
Mr. Jenkins.
Jamie, get out home this minute. No place for you, boy.
I want to talk to him, Dad, please. Mr. Jenkins, I don't believe what they're all saying. You didn't do anything to Raggedy, did you? Did you?
Come on, Jenkins, inside.
Jamie, boy, I fixed up the grave real nice. I'm sorrier about your dog than anything, son. Get me out of here, Mr. Williams, please.
Another visit with Joe and Daphne Forsythe.
Joe, what are you doing?
Oh, hi, Daphne. Just eating a midnight snack.
What is that mess?
That mess? Here's a liverwurst, salami, lettuce, and peanut butter delight.
Nightmares more like it. What woke you up?
My stomach was growling. What woke you up?
You. And I was dreaming such a pleasant dream.
Oh? What?
I dreamed all of our savings bonds had matured and we were cashing in.
That's kind of a dream I can appreciate.
We were planning a trip around the world, and you bought me a fur coat, and I bought you that fishing tackle you want. Oh, it was gorgeous.
Well, it doesn't have to be just a dream. Some of our savings bonds are ready to mature now.
Joe, maybe we shouldn't cash them in. They can go on earning interest, you know, and it adds up fast.
I know. That's why we started buying savings bonds, remember? With a bond a month on the payroll savings plan, our money is saved automatically.
Stop waving that sandwich under my nose. You're making me hungry.
Well, fix yourself a sandwich, ma'am. I got all the makings right over here.
All right. Move over, your bond-buying midnight maverick. I'm going to fix myself a humdinger.
Be listening for another mounting drama of action and suspense when we again bring you The 11th Hour. This was an Art Transit production written by Alan Trevor and directed by Jim Bradley. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service. Thank you.